Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know, one of the important things that Kevin and I wanted to accomplish with this show was we wanted to make sure that we were talking about local events as often as possible. That's why, Kevin, for example, on a high school football Thursday, we do a lot of high school football talk. He'll get coaches on and so forth. Basketball season, same story. Why we've had a great rapport with the people at Bucknell. Dave Paulson, Joe Susan, two outstanding coaches, people that we enjoy talking with. But we also wanted to make sure that this show was not just the backyard show, that we could take big events and bring them home locally and have people hear guests they would not normally hear on the show. That's why, for example, we tried this week to set up Jim Nance, for example, and we were going to get him on the show today, except for the death of Ken Venturi, so we're rescheduling Jim Nance. But Vince Welsh, second straight year he's come on to talk about the Indianapolis 500, and he says yes right away now after being on the show. And that's what we've tried to do, is we've tried to get as many a mixture of local and national guests on the show to give everyone a full feel for the world of sports by listening to this show. And Vince Welsh was the perfect guest to prep everybody for the Indianapolis 500 the way Dick Girardi was for the Preakness last Friday in two different styles of racing. But that's what we wanted to do. Hopefully we're accomplishing that. You, of course, have just gone through Radio Nirvana.
Radio Nirvana, yeah. That's it right there, Radio Nirvana.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin's complete analysis.
Do we have... We don't have enough time. There's only another...
We're here until
51,
5 o'clock.
There's only 51 minutes of the program.
Let it rip.
Yeah, you asked a really good question when it involves guys like Tony Kanaan. I mean, here's a guy that has been in the hunt almost every year he's in the race. If you're an Indy 500 fan, you know of the Indy curse, which I know you don't believe in. But there, you know,
I don't.
Mario wins it once and then never wins it again, or you know, something weird happens almost every year. Blows an engine. Danny Sullivan spins in front of him and he still saves it, but can't win the race. You know, Tony Kanaan has been able to finish races. He just hasn't been able to be in the top spot. And here's a guy who is in with some of the premier teams in his career, in the peak of his career even, and still hasn't been able to win the race. That really shows you how difficult this race is to not only be able to be competitive in, but also to win.
Kevin, it goes back, in all seriousness, what I've said many, many times. And that is, winning is difficult. That is why it's so special. And one of the problems that we have right now in terms of the presentation of sports these days is that through the highlight era that we see on ESPN, it makes winning seem like it's easy. It's not easy.
Well, in the Indy 500 alone, I mean, you think of, there haven't been many guys that have won several times in their career, but they're always talked about. A.J. Foyt, Rick Mears, Elio Castroneves. You know, you've got two-time winners, Dan Weldon, and you got Dario Franchitti. How come a guy like Mario Andretti only won it once? Yeah, that's what sits in your mind. when you hear iconic drivers like that winning multiple races, and then you sit back and you think of a guy like Tony Kanaan or Michael Andretti, who I still think holds the record for the most led laps at an Indianapolis 500 and hasn't won the race. I mean, those are drivers that are winning everywhere else. And then you realize, okay, this is hard. You know, four is a pretty impressive number. I mean, even two is a stunning number.
All right. Led during the course of his career without winning. And that's why I mentioned Lloyd Ruby, Rex Mays. I remember Lloyd Ruby winning one time, pulled in for a pit stop, and they forgot to take out the gas nozzle. Whoops.
Well, and I've seen that happen in modern day racing too.
That's bad luck. I mean, he had nothing to do with it. Well, he had something to do with it. He pulled out too fast. So he did do that.
You know, a couple of years ago, the Buckeye didn't release, and it didn't create a seal. And right. That was actually on a Penske car, if I remember correctly. And that never happens on a Penske team, you know, because those guys drill and drill and drill. But that's something you can't drill for.
No, I understand that you can't. And yet it is, it's amazing that like I said, when you sit back and you look at the history of the race, winning is hard. Remember the story I told about 1967, A.J. Foyt winning?
I think it was Foyt.
I want to say it was Foyt's third. I don't think it was his fourth. I think it was his third. And that was the year that Parnelli Jones and Jimmy Leonard, and I can't remember who their car owner happened to be at the time. It may have been Andy Granatelli. Went to Pratt & Whitney Aircraft. And essentially, they were jet engines that they put in the back of these things. And they led the two of them were right there at the front almost the entire time. But then the cars went, the engines finally went, I think at 490 miles. And then, of course, of all things, there was an accident at the end, near the end, and AJ got through, and that was the great Jim McKay call. Where is AJ? And he, all of a sudden, through the smoke, he emerged, and he won. You know, so you have to have that ability. Al Unser Sr. won four times at this race. Al Unser Sr., except for the one year he had, the Johnny Lightning car, was not the dominant driver in the month. But he was the guy at the end that had, he had the patience to get there. He understood Al Unser Sr. was a 500-mile race.
I remember, I think it was late 80s, there was Cosworth, Ford, and then there was Chevy had just come out with engines for those races. And there were huge battles because the Chevy engine was so much faster than the Ford or the Cosworth. But then the Chevy engines all started to blow right toward at the 400-mile mark, because you have no way to really test these under race conditions because this is the first and only 500-mile race.
Right, exactly. So we have that. There was also an interesting article I saw today. It was out of Washington paper about the fans' right to know about injuries versus privacy, which I found to be a fascinating article. And I think I found a fine line between the two. And the fine line is as follows. You have HIPAA laws today. But HIPAA laws deal with the disclosure of what the exact injury happens to be. Kevin Herr has an MCL. He'll need arthroscopic surgery. He'll be out 2 to 3 weeks. Now, you, Kevin Herr, the individual, the athlete, have the right to look at the staff and say, yeah, you can tell them about it. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Or you have the right to say, no, I don't want people to know exactly what I got here. Because under HIPAA laws, you don't have to. But I do think you have the right as a team and as a league to say Kevin Herr is out tonight, cannot play, or will not be playing tomorrow night, which is injury. Under HIPAA laws, we can't, you know, he didn't want to disclose it, but we are allowed to tell you he's out. That way, you as the fan who's thinking about buying a ticket, and say, for example, you're a big Kevin Herr NBA fan, and Kevin plays for the Washington Wizards, and the Wizards are coming into town to play the Sixers, and they're going to come in three other times. You may not buy a ticket to this one, but you'll buy the one to the next one when you know he's going to be able to play.
It would sure help for fantasy players.
That's part of it. I mean, look, the NFL has the questionable, doubtful, probable, out designation. And part of that happens to be, let's face it, for gamblers. I mean, there's a way of getting around it. That's a way of getting around it. So,
yeah, but even the NFL uses questionable an awful lot. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are questionable. Tom Brady's been questionable since I think the third year in the NFL. I don't think he's been off the questionable list.
Correct. You are absolutely correct about that. I think he's been on the list every week since they've put the list out.
Yeah.
All right. I think that he's been questionable every week.
So that doesn't help a whole lot either, because guys that are questionable 50% of the time are playing anyway.
But doubtful and out do tell you.
Yes. Doubtful and out are definites.
Okay. Doubtful and out do tell you.
Well, I should say out is a definite. Doubtful's pretty confident.
Yeah, doubtfully, I think you have a pretty questionable. I think most people look at questionable. Yeah, sure.
If it's doubtful that there'll be sunshine today, you're not going to bring your sunglasses with you. If it's right. Questionable, you might.
Right. So. All right. So we'd like to have you join in on the Hilscher's General Store hotline, which we use to call out to Vince Welsh. Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15, the 21st Century General Store. I think they like when I say that, don't they?
Well, it's a very good description of it, too.
I think it is. I think you go in there and you go, wow. It is definitely on my stop list when I come in on June 5th for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
You walk in, go to the left, that's all the hardware. Go to the right, you got a grocery store, swing around the corner, you end up with a little restaurant. Then you have some hard-to-find items.
Bakery.
Well,
love the bakery.
That's true. They have this tasty cake-like item. I just can't describe it, but I know it's good. That's all that matters. Tandy cake. It's tandy cake-like. That's the best way to describe it.
We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Okay, I like the food.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe with black interior, $16,889. 2012 Kia Sorento 4-wheel drive LX, $16,999. It's one tough truck. A 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, just $25,998. And a 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Oh.
You liked that story, didn't you?
Wow.
I just told Steve a story. I don't know, it was probably mid-80s. It was the worst Indianapolis 500 start I have ever seen. Cars were all over the place. There was not that nice, you know, 11 rows of three cars. It was jumbled up. There was a huge start off turn four. It was awful. And they waved the green flag. And my father and I immediately, as USAC members, they were the ones that were running the race at the time, as USAC members, we called to cancel our membership into USAC. And of course, they're always trying to, you know, find out why. And I simply said, because that was the worst Indianapolis 500 start I've ever seen, then I don't want to be affiliated with it. And the guy on the other line went, okay, then, we'll cancel your membership. Thank you. You know, there was no way of talking it. He didn't have anything on his script to talk me out of that objection.
I'm just shocked you called. I just
no way I wanted to be affiliated with that.
Yeah, well, okay. Baseball today. Braves beat Minnesota 8-3. The Dodgers pounded Milwaukee 9-2. Cincinnati beat the Mets 7-4. In progress. Texas top in the ninth, leads Oakland 3-1. Arizona, Colorado, Rockies lead it 4-0. Top of the fourth at Coors. Giants and Nationals scoreless bottom of the second at AT&T. Getting underway bottom of the hour, it'll be Tampa Bay at Toronto. Phillies tonight will play at Miami. Pirates will be at home with the Little Bears of Chicago, a.k.a. the Cubs. The NFL's thinking about expanding the playoffs and going to 18-game schedule. Because they say the preseason has become meaningless in some ways. Sergio Garcia.
Sergio.
Sergio. Sergio's got issues.
Really?
But here's the Sergio Garcia problem. When you are speaking to any group, you are expected at some point to be entertaining. And look, on this show, we try to set the bar low, but you know, we are attempting to entertain you. Okay. you know, and when you're on the air or you have so much time to speak, there is obviously, just by the mere volume of words, a greater probability of either making a mistake or saying something extremely stupid.
My case, usually the latter, but we won't get into that.
I wasn't going to bring your name into this. When you're doing, you know, I will do 4 hours of talk a day. On a Thursday, it'll be five during the football and basketball seasons. And if I have a game that night, tack on three more. I could be on the air 8 hours. In a day. Football, we're on the air 6.5 hours. Well, if you're on 8 hours a day, that means you're speaking to a public audience one-third of the day. So needless to say that the window of opportunity for a flub or a mistake or saying something stupid grows exponentially with the more time that you're out there. Sergio Garcia, and I'll tell you where you do get into the biggest area of trouble potentially in this business, and that is an attempt at humor. Some humor is very safe. It's, you know, especially self-deprecating. Self-deprecating humor is always very safe. Where you're, you know, you're out there, you're targeting yourself, and you have a good time with it, okay? Sergio Garcia was at a European tour players' dinner Tuesday night. And someone jokingly asked a question to him about getting together with Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open. And his response was, we'll have him around every night. We'll serve fried chicken. Oh.
Dilly.
Now, he has spent, obviously, last night and today apologizing. I want to apologize to Tiger and anybody that I could have offended. Garcia said, I feel sick about it. I'm truly, truly sorry. I hope we can kind of settle things down and hopefully move on. Then he issued a statement, another statement. I apologize for any offense and then caused by my comment on stage during the European Tour Players Dinner. I answered a question that was clearly made toward me as a joke with a silly remark, but in no way was the comment meant to be racist. Then he had a news conference. Then before Garcia's news conference today, Woods tweeted, and Tiger really showed a lot of class, I thought. I'm confident that there is real regret that the remark was made. The Players ended nearly 2 weeks ago. It's long past time to move on and talk about golf. He's absolutely right. Garcia's sponsors have weighed in. You know, he had a press conference today. No. I think they ought to pair the two of them up at the U.S. Open for the opening two rounds. Then we could have a little fun asking whether Garcia makes the cut or not.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Why don't you ask Drew and Mahone whether or not you almost hit me?
You know what? I'm going to videotape the entire round just so I have a visual record of what happens.
I don't think you want to do that. Suddenly the Steve Jones Show website with your highlights. I don't think you want to do that.
You know, it is strange. Weird things do seem to happen to me. And I don't quite understand how or why, but weird things do seem to happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were explaining earlier some of the weird things that happened to you. What? Wow.
I said, we were talking about the beanbag toss, and I said, you remember lawn darts?
Jarts! Yeah. Jarts.
Jarts.
Yeah.
I used to love jarts. Now, I understand. Funny, though, when we used to play lawn jarts, we didn't think of the danger, which is probably why they don't exist. Well, actually, it is why they don't exist. But I thought I'd, be a little clever the one time, and I said, hey, Dad, watch this. I can actually hit the circle facing the other way. He said, please don't do that. I'm like, no, really, I can. I put it right in the middle of the pool. I didn't say what circle I was going to hit, but I was able to put it in the middle of the circle.
Wow.
Fortunately, we were replacing the liner, so it was drained already. But still, my father was not what I would call ecstatic about the attempt.
Wow.
It's weird stuff like that that happens to me.
Wow. Man. You know, I look at your son now, and
I know where this is going.
I really have a different view now.
So, in other words, you're just saying, I'm sorry, Daniel, it's genetic. I realize that now.
I mean, the two words that come to my mind are gene pool. All right. And at Purdue, when Gene Cady was the coach, everybody has their own, the Grateful Red is Wisconsin,
right.
The Nittany Nation's Penn State.
Right.
When Gene Cady was the head coach at Purdue, it was the Gene Pool. The Izzone at Michigan State with the Gene Pool. All right, so the NFL wants to add, now, they're not doing it yet. They've already moved the draft back to May. They say there was a conflict with an Easter show at Radio City Music Hall, so they're going to move it back. Now, this will lead to permanence.
Well, but this would have been a bad idea anyway to have that over Easter weekend. That just would have been a bad idea anyway.
Right. I agree. I agree with that. May 8th to the 17th, but I think you sense there's going to be some permanence with it. Now here's the next part. They're talking about an 18-game schedule and expanding the playoffs.
Oh, I don't mind the 18-game schedule, but please don't expand the playoffs. It'll be
the
like
expansion
hockey.
Of the playoffs. The expansion of the playoffs would be one team in each conference. And what would happen would be the number two seed, which currently has a bye, would have to play. Only the number one seed would have the bye.
Well, at least it's not as bad as what they were originally talking about half the teams making the playoffs.
Well, if they do this, it'll be 14, right? 12 make it now. Right, 12 make it now.
Yeah, so they had talked 14. About 16 at one point.
Right. So if they do that, and they go to an 18-game schedule, you notice they did not announce the date for Super Bowl 50. Did you notice that?
I wondered about that yesterday, and I didn't mention it to you, but I did.
And by the way, I want to clear something about ticketless. Ticketless is when you use your credit card to get in.
Oh, okay. That I can understand. I mean, I figured with a smartphone you could be ticketless too, because they could put a virtual ticket on there and scan the barcode.
Right, but if you use the credit card you bought the tickets on, boom, you do that, boom, you're in.
All right, that makes sense.
That's ticketless entry. If they go to an 18-game schedule and they add, now you wouldn't add playoff time, because that two seed playing the other wild card would just be in the same weekend. All right. So that's no big deal in terms of, so there's no extra weekend to do it. But you might kick the season back, obviously. Maybe start one weekend sooner and end a weekend later. What are the three single most important months of the television year?
Let's see, February, May, and November.
Right. Those are the 3 months where sweeps take place.
Right.
And that's where all the advertising rates are set based on the ratings in those 3 months. You notice the Super Bowl, along with the Academy Awards, now occur in February. Okay. Is there any coincidence? No.
No.
What about the possibility of an AFC-NFC championship game in prime time, along with the Super Bowl in February? I'm just throwing it out there.
Interesting.
Just throwing it out there. But you know, Super Bowl 50 and Super Bowl 51? Did not have dates assigned to them. Now they're going to have to talk to the Players Association. They're going to have to talk with the broadcast partners. To see what they're doing. But the options on the table. I tell you, 16-game season's brutal to begin with in terms of how physical it is.
Still only one bye week then?
Yeah.
Oof. By the way, I just got a message from Tim, said that you can also use your license with Ticketless.
All right.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Anything has a strip on it. If you have a strip, you can do it. It identifies who you are. So that's what ticketless means. And the stadium in San Francisco or Santa Clara is going to have all that. Only the NFL can go from New Jersey to Santa Clara in 2 years. Los Angeles? No need. Santa Clara? Yeah, we got a Super Bowl.
I still can't figure out how Los Angeles does not have an NFL team yet. I just don't understand that.
To be honest with you, they weren't selling out. Remember Senator McCain 2 weeks ago was talking about the blackout?
Right.
Well, when the Raiders were in Los Angeles and the Rams before that, their games were blacked out left and right.
You know,
the only time they were on TV is when they were on the road.
Speaking of a blackout, I didn't know this either, but do you know that the ABC affiliate in Indianapolis is blacked out from running the 500?
Yeah.
I didn't know that until just recently.
Yep, it's very true. It's antiquated. I don't understand it in terms of why it has to be. I mean, it's antiquated. I mean, you realize that the big debate in radio when it came to baseball in the 20s, 30s, and 40s is whether they should carry home games. Because we keep the audience down. I mean, that's always been the fear about radio TV.
Well, but you
they know, stop the, you they and stop I both, thinking that about radio. Now they do TV.
Yeah, you and I both know that radio and television are proven factors that increase attendance. It doesn't
right,
decrease
course.
It because people are aware of the event and when it's happening. And, of course, you have the television aspect of everybody wanting to get on television.
Exactly. So the Indianapolis 500 blacked out in Indy.
That just
not even in Indy. It's in Speedway, Indiana. Burb.
Speedway, Indiana is basically the racetrack, though. That's
yes, it is.
About it.
Basically.
That's like State College and University Park.
Well, yeah, University Park. You know, University Park's just a post office. That's all it is.
Yeah, but technically that's the campus, right?
Yeah, but that's it's the post office. For example, I can tell you right now, for example, Beaver Stadium, Medler Field, Lebrano Park, and the Jordan Center. You know where they actually are?
No. College I always Township. Thought University Park is what I always thought.
Yeah, College Township. They're all in College Township. So whenever you go to an event at Medler Field, Lebrano Park, or the Jordan Center, I believe it's a 50-cent charge on every ticket.
Entertainment
goes to College Township. Yep, goes to College Township. Now, it does not happen at Beaver Stadium because that was grandfathered. But they passed this law. They passed this before the Jordan Center was built. So Beaver Stadium, you don't have that. But they're actually in College Township. They are not in State College Borough. They're actually in College Township. That's why, for example, you look at the back of Beaver Stadium. You notice there's no signage on the back of Beaver Stadium except it says Penn State. And they used to have on the back of the scoreboard all the national championships and things like that. It used to be in
yes.
the back of the scoreboard?
Yes.
Well, do you know why that they don't?
No. I honestly didn't notice the last time when I was up last spring that it wasn't there.
College Township signage regulations.
Wow. That seems weird.
Right. I mean, do you know why the parking lot on the west side has, for example, islands and lights that are covered? College Township parking regulations. They have a certain amount of islands, and then you have to have covers over the lights because of light pollution.
Is that the green lot?
Yes, green lot.
See, I only know it by colors. I don't know it by...
These are all College Township regulations. I mean, people don't realize the township. When Pagoula Ice Arena was being built, they had to go to the Center Region Planning Commission to get all the plans approved. There's a lot of people who say, the campus, they can do whatever they want, blah, blah. No, they really can't. They can't. They're actually subject to township laws and regulations and so forth. And it is not, that stuff is not in State College Borough. It's all in College Township. You learned something today, didn't you?
I don't know what to say. I learned something. I was enlightened.
This or the Vince Welsh interview?
Oh, the Vince Welsh interview.
Yeah. You were enlightened.
Sorry.
Yeah. You learned something about that. Cultivating teams. You learned something out of that. You learned more today than the House Committee and the IRS learned.
Not saying a whole lot, was it?
I'll take the fifth,
I'll take the fifth. Thank you very much.
I think I'll drink one. All right. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Final stages of the show today. Vince Welsh was on earlier. Neil Riddell's going to join us on Friday, along with our good friend Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. I've had to load up on guys. I have three guests, by the way, for Friday.
That's good. That's great.
Right, because you will be mentally checked out.
Yes. Yes, I will be I'll be in carb day mode at that point.
You know they're not racing, right?
No. They will be going around and they will be going around the track. It's the last and only practice since Sunday. Another thing unique about the 500.
You know, when Jim Furyk and Keegan Bradley go out and play a practice round at the U.S. Open, you know they drop 2-3 balls down and hit them, right?
Yeah. I've seen that done before.
Because it doesn't count.
Yeah, but you're talking about something totally different. I mean, you're relying on your own abilities there and knowing the course. Now you're relying on making sure you have everything set right with an engine that was different from the one you qualified in. Making sure everything's... You're trusting everybody else on your team to make sure that car goes around all four turns every time.
My point is, you're not playing in the practice round and you're not racing on carb day. Thank you.
I'm still watching it, and I'll still be...
Oh, I know you're still watching, and I also know you'll be mentally checked out.
And I admitted it.
I know.
Freely.
I know. I understand that. I'm just explaining to the audience that we have three guests on Friday, three very good guests, I personally feel, and that it will allow you to mentally check out.
And on the way home and later that evening, I can listen to the podcast at stevejonesshow.com and be able to hear the whole thing. I get the best of everything that way.
You may not like what you hear.
That's every day, but it's a different story.
Suddenly out of nowhere, he said, I don't recall him saying that about me.
I don't remember hearing that.
I just thought I'd mention that.
By the way, the update on Henry Hanoski is there is a knee injury, looking at an MRI. He was in the voluntary practices today. It appeared as though a handoff where he banged knees with one of the other running backs, and they carted him off the field. Again, knee injury of some sort. He'll have an MRI either today or tomorrow.
Right. Well, that brings up, again, this goes back to right to know versus privacy. If Henry Hanoski does not want people to know his injury, they can't tell. They can tell you if he's in or out, though.
I don't know. I guess I just don't see the issue here.
No, there is no issue here.
In this particular case.
I'm just saying, though, he does have the option of saying, I don't want people to know.
That's true. He's going to have a tough time covering it when every reporter that was covering it tweeted Hanoski being taken off practice field in cart.
Oh, no question. Oh, no question about that. No question. I'm just saying that was what this article was about. Right of privacy versus right to know. You as a fan, I do think, do have a right to know whether the player is going to play or not. You don't need to know why.
I'll say this, though. I think all reporters, no matter what media you represent, I think all reporters should not be allowed to tweet during the practice. Once the practice is over, you can report on what happened. But I don't think you should be able to report during the practice, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or whatever. It defeats the purpose of a closed practice then, doesn't it?
Right, it does. And I remember one time I had a fan argue with me that the fan was walking along and she got spoken to by managers because she had stopped to watch practice. And she says, oh, it's awful, terrible, blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, yo. I said, where do you work? And she told me she worked in an office. I said, how would you like all of us to come into your office and stand there and watch you work? Oh, this is different. I said, no, it's not. That's their office.
But if
that's their yeah. office. That's their. So in other words, there are certain rules in their office, just like there are certain rules in every office. You just can't come over, park yourself over at up there on the hill and watch Kevin work. You just can't do that.
But I think especially if people think
because it's a sport, you can.
Right. And I think especially if you're a reporter that's invited to be able to attend this practice, you shouldn't tweet during the practice, especially, or Facebook during the practice, or, you know, whatever. Text about the practice, even. Now, how do you enforce that? That's a little bit different question, but.
Yeah, not easy. Not easy enforcing. That's
you know, you go to an awful lot of practices, and you realize that it's a privilege for you to be able to be there, and that gives you insight in the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I think reporters need to look at it, too. This gives us insight when we write our articles later that day or maybe the next day or after the game or whatever.
Right.
Not to be the first one to get the information out of Henry Hanoski being carted off on a cart.
Right. But again, like there are many times I've seen somebody carted off in a cart and it's no big deal.
That's also true.
I saw Danny Earle walk off the court against Lehigh one day after getting bumped up. It was a torn ACL. You don't know. Kevin has a big Little League game that they want him to coach third base at tonight. That ought to be entertaining.
Just steal home every time.
You're going to lose.